Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I am a huge fan of New York Times bestselling author Jane Green, and I am thrilled that she is joining us today to talk about her latest book, Promises to Keep. Promises to Keep is the most personal and the most moving of her books, written to help Jane through the traumatic loss of one of her best friends, Heidi, who lost her battle with breast cancer last year. In Jane's words, quote, "Heidi didn't just live life, she sparkled. But she couldn't survive the cancer that swept through her body like a wildfire over 7 months. One day leaving a chemotherapy session, she said to me, 'I hope you're going to write about this.' And so I did," unquote. This is not a story about her friend, but it is a story about friendship and about what it means to love someone. Jane Green Warburg, who writes as Jane Green, was born in London and has lived in the United States for almost 10 years. One of the founding writers behind the genre known as chick lit, Green has written 11 novels, including several New York Times bestsellers. She is the author of Straight Talking, Jemima J, Mr. Maybe, Bookends, Babyville, To Have and To Hold, The Other Woman, Swapping Lives, Second Chance, The Beach House, and Dune Road. Winner of a Cosmopolitan Fun Fearless Fiction Award in 2007, Jane lives in Connecticut with her husband and their blended family of 6 children and many animals. Jane, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you, Lisa. Lovely to be here.
I'm so happy to have you on the show, Jane. You know, I've been a fan of yours for years, and I think one of my favorites, aside from Promises to Keep, is Babyville. I absolutely love that book, and you know, I'm sure you relate, obviously, having, 6 children and many animals as well. That's wonderful. Now, in Promises to Keep, you know, I mentioned in the introduction about your friend Heidi, and first of all, I just want to say I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank
and if you can tell us about the type of cancer that she had, and I know that it was very rare.
Well, she actually was diagnosed in March with stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm.
And even at the time of diagnosis, it was a uniquely aggressive form of cancer. They found it because she had been having severe back pain, constant back pain for 3 or 4 months, and she was having physical therapy and going to see a chiropractor, and eventually they sent her for an MRI. And what they found from the MRI was that she had tumors all over her spine. So in the space of a year since her last mammogram, she was due for one the following month, she had gone from being clear to how, I mean, she obviously had a microscopic tumor in her breast, but it had in 11 months metastasized, and even then, most people, if it metastasizes to the bone, they might find a spot or a couple of spots, but Heidi had tumors all over her spine, so it was very aggressive. She was responding to chemotherapy. And then after a few months, she developed a complication, which is incredibly rare. And I think at this point I have to say that most women who have breast cancer do get better, and they do go back to their lives, and they are treated successfully. But this complication that Heidi had occurs in less than 1% of cancer sufferers, and it's called leptomeningeal carcinomatosis. And what it is diffuse tumors in the cerebrospinal fluid. So once it's in the nervous system, it's very difficult to treat. And she lost her battle in September.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I lost my mother to ovarian cancer. It'll be 15 this year, and my husband lost his mother. It'll be 2 years in January to cancer. It's so prevalent, and I think it's so important to, you know, keep it in people's minds and write personal stories. And, you know, what I loved about the book is, you know, it touches on so many different issues. I mean, you have Callie, the main character, and you have her sister, Steffi, and I love Lila. Of course, my daughter's name is Lila. So. And we're Jewish, so I'm like, oh, a Jewish woman named Lila. So I immediately responded, you know, to that. But I love how, you know, these women came together and they had their own issues going on in their lives and their own problems and their own, you know, things that were really positive as well. Now, did Heidi have a sister, and was any of this based on her life, or was it just the cancer in that situation, and then you kind of created this other world?
Well, you know, she didn't have a sister.
Mm-hmm.
you know, when she asked me to write about it, I thought, well, how, you know, I knew that I needed to write about it anyway, because as a writer, we process our emotions through our words, and I had really stopped my life from the get-go to look after her, and my life had changed enormously, and I thought, well, I don't want to write an incredibly sad book about cancer. What I want to write about are characters and people and what it's like being around someone you love who is ill, and also really it was about the lessons that I learned. And you mentioned earlier in your introduction that I learned how to be a friend. I learned what it is to love someone, and it is so easy to say things like, just pick up the phone if you need me, I'm here, just call me. And actually what I learned through my journey with Heidi was that sometimes love requires more. It requires acts of love, thinking of what you can do for that person to show them that you love them rather than just saying empty words. And so, you know, I really created these sisters, and I wanted to write about them and their lives and their best friend Lila, as you said, and their parents, Walter and Honor, and what it's like for them living their lives and also looking after this girl that they all love. But there's a lot of laughter and a lot of warmth in this book as well. It is, you know, I always describe it as a book that requires a box of Kleenex be, you know, kept at your side. But it's also a book that is filled with a lot of hope. It's ultimately, I would say, a book that celebrates life.
Yes, it really does. And a big part of celebrating life is food. And I love how you have recipes in the book. And I made the spinach and chickpea coconut curry, which was delicious. I love anything with coconut. And I'm wondering, did you just come up with these recipes on your own? Are these things that you cooked for years, or did these have any relation to Heidi? Or tell me about
those. One of my acts of love for Heidi was to cook for her and her family every day. So I had part of my daily routine was cooking for them every day and taking food over there. I love cooking. I have always cooked. And with six children, I have come to discover that nobody ever invites you anywhere. And so I'm slightly housebound. I kind of have to cook or we'd all starve. I've cooked ever since I was teeny tiny. My mother was a big cook. And a lot of these recipes are mine. I mean, many I've created. Many are from my mother. They're her recipes and my grandmother. And many I've just collected over the years. Some I've adapted. Some I've just borrowed, I would like to say. But because I cook for so many people, we have six children. We also have a house that is filled with people and friends and kids' friends and their parents and our friends and various family members of my husband who seem to have moved in over the last 6 months. But I cook every weekend for 20 or 30 people.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I cook I have quite specific criteria for the food that I cook. It has to be very easy. It has to be idiot-proof. It has to be able to have been prepared in advance so that when my friends are there, I'm not worrying about last minute sauteing anything. I'm just relaxing and having fun. But it also has to look and taste as if I've slaved over a hot stove for hours.
Yes.
So as I was writing this book, and Steffi is a chef, the younger sister is a chef, and she really, having struggled to find her path in life in her 30s, she suddenly realizes that she has a real passion and a talent for food. So as I was writing about food, and I've always written about food, there's always been a lot of food in my books, and I was writing, you know, one of my recipes, and I suddenly thought, hang on, I could give these recipes to my readers. And so what I've done is at the end of every chapter, I've put one of my recipes in. And so I like to think of it as two for the price of one. You get your cookbook and your novel.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And, you know, something that you mentioned earlier was about how this book is about, you know, learning to be a friend and loving. I think what's important, too, is after somebody passes away, to continue to give your love and food to the survivors, to the people who are grieving. And I think long afterwards, too, I know when my mom died, you know, first everyone's bringing casseroles, right, every single day. And then a couple weeks, everyone, there's nothing else. Not that, you know, I'm not trying to be greedy. You know, but it's nice if, like, a few months down the road, people check in and say, hey, how's it going? Because sometimes it's harder. I don't know. You know, the first month or so, you're in shock. And I found that a few months later is when I really had a hard time. Did you experience that as well?
Well, I think what happens is in those moments of utter grief, and particularly as someone is dying and it's a journey, and then afterwards, you come together and form incredibly close bonds.
Yes.
And you think that those bonds are going to last forever, but then life gets in the way and people mm-hmm. just sort of disappear and go back to their lives. So, yes, I think that's an incredibly valuable thing to remember, that people are still grieving. They still need you.
Yes. And how did this book, I mean, I'm sure you mentioned earlier being a writer and this is how you get your emotions out. How did it help you in the healing process?
Well, you know, I think it was incredibly hard. I mean, it was very, I want to say it was a catharsis, but it wasn't really. It didn't really help, but it gave me an outlet for some of the feelings, and I think it helped me sort through the feelings. You know, we writers tend to have very, very active heads. It's very busy inside our heads, and we've got our imaginations and our thoughts, and everything's jumbled up. And one of the things that I do is I make up stories about everyone. I can't go into a restaurant and just sit there and enjoy the meal and talk to whoever I'm with. I'm constantly looking around the room and thinking, well, who are they? And they, oh, I think they're newlyweds. And I create stories about everyone. So it's very, very busy inside my head. And what the writing does is it helps me sort out the jumble in there. And with Heidi, it was just grief and sadness and thoughts, and it was all mixed up, and it just gave me a channel for some of my thoughts. And it also is very much a tribute to her, because although this isn't about Heidi, I think what I've done is I've very much captured her sparkle and her love of life, her joie de vivre in the character of Callie. Mm. And in the pages of this book. So for me, it was writing a tribute to a girl I loved.
That is so beautiful. And speaking of the girl you loved, how are her children and her husband, how are they doing? And how have they liked the book? I don't know how young her children were, so I don't know. But
well, her children were 6 and 9. And, you know, it's very difficult to tell. Children process things very differently. It comes out sideways. Her husband is amazing, and I mean, he's another wonderful man. I gave him the book and didn't hear anything for a long time, and just recently he said to me, we went out for dinner, and he said, Jane, I am reading your book. And he said, I have not finished it. I'm reading it very slowly because it's very hard for me. But you have captured the essence of Heidi. And, of course, I looked him over the table and burst into tears. So I'm not much help, really, because he makes me cry more than anybody else. I'm sort of fine a lot of the time. And then whenever I see him, you know, what happens is when you recreate bits of your life that in which the people you loved used to be part of it, you know, you feel their loss so much more. But you know, that people, life does go on. Life goes on, and there are moments of happiness and levity, and you carry the people you love with you.
Yeah, that's true. And you showed that so wonderful. And I don't want to give too much of the book away. That's why I'm not getting into, you know, too much detail. But, yeah, just in terms of the way, you know, Steffi came together and her parents and everybody. It was just beautiful. It showed that. And it really is such a wonderful book. And, again, I'm so honored to have you on the show. And I'm now doing something called It's Your Health TV on WZMY-TV, which is shown throughout Massachusetts, New Hampshire, parts of Vermont, and parts of Maine. Now, you're in Connecticut. But I would still love to have you on the show, because I just think it would be wonderful. And I'm so glad you were able to join me today. Now, Jane, how can people learn more about you and your wonderful work?
I have a website, which is www.janegreen.com. I have a blog on the website, and of course what we authors now have to do is not only blog furiously, we have to Twitter, we have to tweet and Facebook and do all of that stuff. So
yes. So
you can find out much more about me and my books and my life if you visit my website.
Oh, that's great. You know, I'm doing the Facebook thing and the email thing. I haven't done the tweeting. I need to get with the program.
It's time consuming. It's quite hard, but it's amazing. Social networking has really changed the face of publishing for certain. Authors have to generate so much more themselves. There is much more work required of us these days.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I'm just so grateful. Like I said, I love Chick Lit, and you're my favorite. So this has been such an honor. Now, if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.